Hello, and welcome to Renew, Restore, Rejoice, the Safe House Ministries podcast, where we share stories of the power of God to change lives through Safe House Ministries. Safe House Ministries is based out of Columbus, Georgia, and we are a ministry that exists to love and serve people who have been affected by addiction, homelessness, and incarceration. I'm your host, Phil Schuler, the Director of Development for Safe House Ministries here in Columbus, Georgia. Safe House serves over 1,100 people each month as they transition back into our community. Safe House provides an abundance of services, including 213 beds for homeless individuals and families, case management for obtaining job skills and long-term employment, over 300 hot meals every day, free clothing, and so much more. One of the most incredible services that Safe House provides is our free 9 to 12 month intensive outpatient substance abuse program, which is state licensed, CARF accredited, and has no wait list. Almost 100% of individuals staying in our shelters who follow our three-phase program become fully employed within a few months. And 68% of individuals who stay at least one night with us end up finding work and moving into their own home. Thank you for being with us today and listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. Good morning. I am here with Ani Boswell. And Ani is someone that I met when I started working for Safe House Ministries. And right from the beginning, he just seemed like a great personality and he had a good spirit about him. Ani is one that, like many others, has a testimony, and his life has not always been great. He's not always been in the path and the place where he is now. And so Ani is here with us today, and he's going to just share his story, share his struggles, what his life looked like in its darkest points, and what the Lord did and how Safe House Ministries was a part of turning things around. So Ani, good to have you.
Thanks to be here, Phil. It's good to be here. I'm 46 years old. I'm from Northeast Georgia, Athens, Cumbers area. And I made some bad decisions at a young age. I was a straight-A student, got with the wrong crowd, started doing drugs in high school, had to leave high school. That's where my addiction started. Spent 32 years in active addiction. I've been to prison several times. I've gave up hope several times, lost my father at a young age. Just went through the troubles of not knowing how to deal with stuff. And just kept putting more and more drugs on top of it. Got addicted to the street life, the hustle, the grind, being the guy to go to this, that, and the other. And it cost me a lot. I've been locked up in my county jail. I think it's over 52 times. Like 18, 19 time convicted felon. Been in prison several times. First time I done 7, then 3, then a few months on a violation here, a few months on a violation there. And fast forward a little bit, come around to about 2 years ago, it was May 8th, matter of fact, 2021. I broke down. I was a heroin addict, shooting heroin. Just couldn't live without it because I didn't want to be sick. I go to rehab up in Gainesville, Georgia, and what they call a detox. And I'd detox for a week or even a month, and I think I had it. And I'd go back home to the same areas that I grew up in, the same areas where I knew everybody, and it wouldn't be long, and I'd relapse. And I'd ride the wave again for a minute, and then I'd get sick and tired of being sick and tired and go back and detox, come back, ride the wave. Finally, I just asked God to remove me completely from my circumstances, whether it's take me to be home with you or whatever. I was ready to die. I was done. I was completely drained, tapped out, just didn't have nothing left, no hope, no desire for life at all. He said he had a different plan. Got arrested, stayed 14 of the sickest days of my life. I've never been sick like that before in my life. I'm withdrawing off heroin in the hole at my county jail. When I come out of the hole, they said I had court coming up on the new charges. And I've never been offered rehab or nothing like that. They've always sent me to the Department of Corrections, general population. Some people that works for with me, I just meet new people in there to deal with or to buy from or whatever the case was. And so I just went in. They tried to give me 10 years for citizens. And I just told my lawyer, hold on, let me speak up for myself. And I spoke up to the judge and I said, look at my record. I said, y'all keep sending me to prison. I keep doing the same thing. I said, I'm a drug addict, period, point blank. Can you please give me a chance at rehab? He said, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. I'm sitting there in court at the podium. And I'm like, Okay, so then they sent me back to the jail. The next day, they called me back to court. Judge said, I've thought about it, prayed about it, and we're going to give you a chance, Mr. Boss. We'll see if you can change your life. And he said, I'm going to give you 30 days to go home, and you got 30 days to be in a rehab. I said, no, sir, please don't do that. That's not going to work. I said, there's too many chances I can mess that up. I said, I've only got a month or so clean. I said, I don't want a chance. He said, okay, we'll send you to Athens to a rehab we know of. I said, sir, I'm from Athens. I said, if you send me to Athens, I'm going to be 10 minutes from my connection to the drug world. I said, please don't do that. He said, what is it you want, Mr. Boswell? I said, God tells me I want to stay here, find my own program, and then y'all send me straight to the program from here. So he said, we usually don't do that. He said, but I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to give you a chance. They printed me off a Thor list. I got back to the jail the next morning. I started going through the Thor list, looking at what I could afford because it has prices on it and all that stuff. And I was an addict. I couldn't afford nothing. First place I called, Chattahoochee Valley Jail Ministry, which is the Safe House Tomorrow's Hope Drug Program. And God bless me. Pastor Eric McClure answered the phone and done my intake and my assessment for Tomorrow's Hope over the phone with me. And it was like a week and a half later, the lieutenant from the jail came. He said, Mr. Boswell, you got an acceptance letter to Tomorrow's Hope. He said, bear with us. We'll get your shipping details down for security reasons. We can't tell you when. So I'm like, all right. So I'm high on the hog now. Done got my sickness behind me. I'm putting some weight back on. And I'm just riding, waiting to get to this rehab to see what's going on. I'm a little nervous about it because I ain't never been. And it's a long way away from home. I'm about 3 hours. Finally, shipping day comes. They transport me down here and drop me off at the Safe House, day house up at 2101 Hamilton Road. And I see that's where school used to be. I see people standing on the steps, and I get out with my jail bag, and they pull off. I'm like, okay. So I go find somebody and ask them what I'm supposed to do. And luckily, the people that were standing on the side of the building were the class people that was going through the program as I was coming into it, and they showed me where to go, and I got with Mr. McClure, and they transported me to the Grace House, which was a men's facility at the time. And I got into the program. I met the facilitators, which was great. They started giving me tools that I needed to cope with life on life's terms, to change everything about myself, to have a different life. Started working some steps, 12-step program. Started changing. I started feeling change in myself. I had started having a little bit of hope that maybe I can do it. And I met some people who was about to graduate and who was further along in the program. They helped drive along and saw that there was hope for recovery. Started relating to some people instead of doctors. It was my peers that were showing me it was possible. One of the facilitators at class I had, she was great. She had a lot of the backstory I had. And she showed me that she'd been through all this, I've been through all this, and she's doing this now. I want to do this now. And it came together to where I knew I had hope. So I grabbed a hold and didn't let go. Started into work phase in the end of November of 2021. Well, December the 10th, I had a job offer to go to work with Able Electric, making good money. I had went to the electrical classes they provided. Already knew the stuff because my dad was an electrician growing up. And so I was supposed to start to work at Monday morning. Had a wreck that Friday on the 10th. Separated my shoulder in many different places, cracked my arm. They put a rod and a bunch of screws and stuff in it, and I couldn't go into work phase because I couldn't work. So I stayed in day class for the whole time I was there, as a matter of fact, up until aftercare, and we still visit with day class to help give back to some of the people coming in and just to keep that hope, to be able to keep that hope that it was possible everything's going to be all right because it was God's plan for my life. It was just a blessing to me. I graduated Tomorrow's Hope in May of 2022, and then Chaplain Neil and my crew come to me and they said, look, we've been watching you. We want you to be a house manager and recovery coach for the Safe House Ministry. And I was blown away. Miss South, the head lady at Tomorrow's Hope, she said, yeah, I absolutely approve of that. Why don't you go ahead and do it? I've been doing that now since May of last year. And I'm now the head house manager and recovery coach for the ministry. I just passed my certified peer specialist test. So now instead of having a GDC number behind my name, I've got actual documented letters behind my name. And that's a pretty good feeling. I've kind of been tripping on that the last couple of days. If you live in addiction or in struggles of homelessness or whatever your struggles would be, struggles can be anything. You know what I mean? But if you're struggling, there is hope to live a different life. Absolutely. And these last 2 years have been a roller coaster ride of trials and tribulations. But as long as I keep one foot in front of the other and do what I know is right, then ain't nothing wrong with me.
Wow. So when you got sentenced to Tomorrow's Hope and you got dropped off, you started in the program, they took you to the men's shelter, were there times when you were tempted to run away, to stop?
I've seen a lot of people be tempted, but thanks to God, I didn't go through that temptation of running away because I knew what I had over me. That accountability of, okay, you run from it if you want to, and it's going to be 10 years in citizens. So try something new in life or keep doing the same thing over and get the same result. So I done made peace with it to, let's get on this new path and see what God has to offer.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about going through the Tomorrow's Hope program. Was it a painful process? Was it?
Sometimes it gets mundane. You've got day class 3 to 4 months to start with, and it's all day. And it can get repetitive, but just like when we was out there repeatedly getting high before we became addicted, you've got to have that consistency of hearing something over and over until that miracle happens and it clicks in your head. And that's the way we have to have the recovery to know it's possible, is that over and over and over, you don't learn how to put a roof on a house by doing it one time. You have to repeat it and repeat it to be able to just have the confidence to go in and say, yeah, I ain't put that roof on that house. Now with that repetitiveness of the classes, it gives you the hope and the knowledge to know that, hey, this is possible.
Tell us about your family a little bit. Do you still have family in Athens, and do you stay in touch with them? And what's
I talk to my brother constantly all the time. I've got my brother up there, a couple of aunts and uncles. I've got a son. He's 11 years old in Orlando, Florida. I've got one son that's 21 years old in South Carolina. And yeah, my relationship with them that God has gave me the power to restore and restored by his power is great. Because there was a long time I wasn't there. I'd be there birthdays, Christmas, whatever, holidays. Hey, Dad, I need some money. Here you go. But as far as being able to be a father, no, I wasn't. I wasn't there mentally, spiritually, or physically. Because I was in and out of prison and gone running the streets. And now to be able to be there for them is just, it's unimaginable. My son comes up from Florida a pretty good bit every couple of months at least and sees me. And my other son, he's old enough to where he just said, Dad, I'm doing good. I'm proud of you. And that's about as far as that goes. But it's a very good relationship that we have on both sides. And me and my brother's been just stood beside me through thick and thin. Gave me some tough love when I needed it. But he's proud, and that makes me proud that he's proud, because I didn't think we'd ever have a relationship.
That's awesome. So you have a restored relationship with your family, your brother, your sons.
Yeah. And they're all the way across the board.
That's awesome.
Absolutely wonderful.
Do you ever go back to Athens, or is that a...
Yeah. I do go back up there. I've got some pending charges from 2020 before I come down here. I go back up for court on it. Hopefully this next time will be the last time. But I go back up there to visit and stuff like that. But like I told him, after a couple of days up there, I'm ready to get back home to Columbus. I feel like I'm missing my family down here because I have a big recovery family down here. I do go up there and see them at least every couple of months and spend time with them, cook out, do a little fishing, something like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Tell us a little bit about your role within Safe House Ministries and what you do as a housing manager, as a recovery coach, and now how that's going to even be furthered more with your CPS certification.
Yeah, so we started off as house manager and recovery coach, and what that looks like to me is, so I stay on the treatment hallways. I work the whole facility, but my main concentration is people coming through with struggles And it just shows that, show them that my recovery can lead their recovery, help them get to meetings, tell them, you know, what the drug program is about, share my experience and strength and hope with them. And then at the same time, as a house manager, I have to work on holding them accountable. If they fail a drug test, I have to do the write-up or punishment or whatever the case may be. But the main thing is connecting with them, build that relationship, that trust, to where they talk to you about their feelings, they talk to you about what their life's experiencing, so I can help bring them through that. And especially now as a certified peer specialist, that's what my life's going to be, and that's what I feel my calling is helping my peers. Because when I came through, if a doctor would have tried to talk to me about addiction or mental health, I'm like, man, you're reading that out of a book. You don't know. You haven't been through it. But now they can see that I've been through it. I know I was a lot more likely to listen to somebody that had been there, done that, than somebody who just read it out of a book. And so I just strive to give back to others and show them that recovery is possible and a good life is out there waiting for you if you just accept it and take it in stride.
Amen. Do you currently have a strong support system?
Oh, absolutely.
What does that look like?
My church family, for one, the Fort Church, I love Pastor Matt Stevenson. I've got John Birdshaw and him that work over at Connections. I go to meetings. I've got NA sponsor and an AA sponsor. And just the camaraderie of people in recovery, period. I've probably got 100 numbers in my phone. If I was having a problem, I can pick up and call the number. And every one of them is going to be there if I need them there. Go to a wonderful home group, trying to celebrate my 2 years at the end of this month, because we celebrate at the end of every month instead of the day of. So we got a big celebration coming up on my 2 years and somebody else's 2 years. So it's just to have that family, because, you know, family ain't got to be blood. But I've got a recovery family down here that's the size of everything I've seen.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with the Lord and how you came to know him personally.
Okay. See, I didn't grow up going to church. We'd go, of course, Easter, Christmas. We know what Christmas was about. We didn't go to church every Sunday. My dad passed away, and I thought I hated God for a while. I was like, ain't no God. Why would my dad be gone? Duh. And that led me, of course, deeper into my addiction, just hating life in general. But I would always come to him in my time of need. When it hit the fan, as you say, I would be like, oh, God, please help me. And I never thought he was helping me. I was like, you turn your back on me, duh. But now that I look back on all the time that I was calling on him, he was absolutely right there with me the whole time, toting me, showing me that my history is what he had planned to get me to where I'm at today. And knowing that he pulled me out of all of my stuff, because I've been through so much junk and trash. And just knowing that it was all part of his plan to build me into who he needed me to be able to live his will for my life and give back to others. And if I show just one person, can change one person's life, it makes all my past worth it. And I've got some past for it. But it makes it all worth it if I can just change one person. And that's what I strive to do.
That's amazing. Your heart for others really comes across. And it seems like you really have a purpose and you want to just pour your life into helping others.
Yeah, you know, when I got locked up and last year when I was telling you, it hit me. I'm in the back of the police car. And it hit me. You prayed for it. Here it is. He done it for you. And I'm in tears in my mugshot. And people in the jail, they know me. They're like, what are you crying for? You trying to do time? I said, no. I said, I asked for this. I said, and God gave me exactly what I want. Because I knew what it was time for. Just the peace come over my heart. Knew I was fit to be sick and didn't even worry about it. I just lay there sick. But to know that it was part of his plan and he had answered one of my prayers that quick, it was astonishing. There's no words to describe it.
Ani, would you share, if there was something that you think would be one of the most important things, or a couple of things that would be most important that you could share to others, maybe to encourage them if they're in a dark place, just a couple of points of advice that you'd want to share.
My advice is, first of all, know that you're worth it. No matter what you've done in your past, how big or how little, know that you're worth God's love and the life change He has in store for you. If you just have a little bit of hope, because, you know, they say hope is the definition of being in a tunnel, not being able to see the light, but knowing that it's there. Just a little bit of faith to know that it's possible. And start there, then life is unlimited. There's a phrase that says life, L-I-F-E, live in faith every day. And that's what I go by.
So know that you're worth it. You're worth God's love.
Absolutely. And if you don't think anybody has your back, call me. I got your back, I believe. Because I know that if I can do it, anybody out there can do it if they want it. If they want change, it is very much possible. Very much.
I love that. I love that advice, because you and I both know God does love every single person in this world.
Oh, even, absolutely.
Even in the depths of darkness, no matter what they might have done, where they might be, God loves them.
Don't let your guilt and shame of your past get in the way of your future. There's no other explanation for it. And once you get on that path, you'll feel it and you'll see it, and everything will come together just like a puzzle piece.
You have such a great testimony, and I have no doubt that there are so many people, many that might even be listening to this podcast, that have experienced hardship in their life, family members dying, and their first response may be to blame God, to get angry at God, to think, how can there be a God? How can this happen? And just to hear you coming from a place where you did struggle with that a little bit, and then realizing that God loves you and God is there for you and He has a plan for your life. Thank you for sharing it. It's an encouragement. It really is.
Glad to be here.
And Ani, can we just take a minute and can I say a prayer?
Absolutely.
Father, I love you. I thank you for Ani. Thank you for just allowing me to know Ani and to get to work with him some at Safe House Ministries. Thank you for the testimony that he has. Thank you for what you've done in his life, how you brought him to Safe House Ministries, how you just gave him hope, how you restored his life. Thank you that he's able to have a relationship with his sons and just to be able to invest in their lives as a father. I just pray you'd bless him, guide him, protect him from traps that the devil in the world may want to throw at him. Just keep him strong in his faith. Lord, thank you for saving his soul and raising him up, giving him an opportunity to be able to help so many others. Bless and guide Ani, and bless and guide Safe House Ministries, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We look forward to being with you again next week as we share another testimony about the power and the goodness of God to change lives through Safe House Ministries. If you are someone listening to this podcast that loves to hear these stories of the great things that God is doing in changing people's lives for the better, and if you would like to be a part of that work, please reach out to us. You can reach us at 2101 Hamilton Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31904. You can call us at 706-322-3773, or you can email us at info@safehouse-ministries.com. Thank you so much for being with us this week for the Renew, Restore, and Rejoice podcast of Safe House Ministries. We pray that God will bless you this week, and we look forward to having you back with us again next week for a new episode.